All right, good evening, or no, good post. Cut, retake. Good morning and welcome to Bay Street Baptist Church. I was standing at the door giving temperatures, and when I got over here, we're having some technical problems, but I think we're up and running. If you get emails that says they're not able to get on, send them to the BBS radio site, and that will help in the BBS Facebook page, and maybe on our church webpage. I'm not for sure, but the Shattered by the Darkness page is apparently having some problems. They're blocking BBS radio from going in there, but that's all technical stuff that you don't need to know about, but because you are here live. You got a good looking group, so they're still coming in. Good to see everybody and welcome. We're going to open up with some few songs. We got some toe tappers today, but I'm trying to do songs that, and they're on the copy machine. Yeah, if you want to get those, I forgot to grab those for you. That you may know the words to the first and second verse, or first and last verse too. So we'll sing a little bit. I want to appreciate I thank everybody for praying for me. I feel better than I've felt in a long time right now. All the tests came back to what I know of A-okay. So thank you for all your concern, Lord, and your cards and your love and your wishes. I guess that just was an alert to eat more Twinkies. At least that's what I heard the doctor say.
No.
That's what I heard the doctor say. I'm not for sure that's exactly what was supposedly said, but that's what I heard. But let's sing a little bit. We're going to do part two, but I'm going to recap because I really think there's some things I missed on the first one because I was trying to run through and do all of it. And so if you missed last week, you'll be able to catch up real fast this week, but you need a piece of paper and a pen and things of that order. So let's sing a little bit and start church. This is probably one of my, not my favorite, but it's one of my favorites. So when the trumpet, you know that, when the roll is called up yonder. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be the more. And the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. Early 90s, right, Mike? When I was a kid. But Elvis did it, and it changed on that He Touched Me album. And I love this. When the morning comes, trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. We will understand it better by and by. by. Let me slow it down a little bit. It's a little too fast for it. Temptation, hidden snares often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed for some thoughtless word or deed. Wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, we will understand it then by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God gather home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. You all know that one?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking, just checking. The next one I know you know.
I was needing a little.
Wait. Toe tapper still. Here we go. You with me?
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion, bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, on a day of rejoicing that will be.
Like to start clapping and nobody joining in with you.
Connie helped.
Oh, did Connie help? Okay. Now you know how I feel during the sermon when you're really going and everybody's sleeping.
You're going to have to get fired up.
It's okay for Baptists to actually clap their hands. And if you don't like the music here, just wait till you get to heaven because you're going to be miserable because it's really going to be toe-tapping there because you're going to see a chubby white guy dance before the Lord. I tell you what, because I just can't wait. Can't dance on this side of heaven, but I'll be able to dance on that side of heaven, I know, because that's what we're going to be doing. So awesome, awesome, awesome. Let me give a breath. Good to see everybody. We want to just let you know what's going on with the building back there. Just for, it's kind of dark anyway, so. Let you know the floors are pretty well all done and they look beautiful. I will try to get you out an email this week with pictures so we can actually let all the homebound people know. And I like the color. I like the shade. I like the gleam and the gloss. And if you have a flashlight and look into the kitchen floor is absolutely unbelievable. It has a little texture, black, gray, and white texture-y finish so the folks won't slip in case the floor gets wet. We have talking to awning people so we can do a kind of a short awning here so it won't drip on you when you go into this door. I talked to everybody I think this week, the plumbers and the electrician, the sprung people, the HVAC people, and the awning people. Jack's dealing with Garland and Jack and Senior are dealing with Garland and he's coming over today. So we're trying to get all of them together. Monday, the electrician will be out there to start hooking up things even better than what they are now. You'll see a lot of stuff that's hanging out of the walls and things. I believe that they're waiting for permitting to this point to be done before they can actually close that up. And then we're trying to get the city to permit the HVAC inside work. So we can actually put all the ceiling tiles in because where the ceiling tiles are out, it's open so people can go in and look to make sure the connections are right to pass the city inspections, if that makes sense. Okay. that's where we're at right now. So I appreciate your prayers and your support. I'll try to get some pictures out to let people know. The stairs should be done this week. He wanted a week to let the floors be done so they wouldn't traffic on that. So the stairs ought to be done this week with the wood staircases. And I'm getting excited. I would love to say, hey, by Easter, but I'm not going to. I'm going to. But just as soon as we're able, I'm trying to find out, and you may know, can we get permitted occupancy permits with chairs in the building? You don't know. Thanks for playing. Okay. I'm going to try to find that out from the city because we're at the point where we can bring the chairs in. Robert, wherever you're at, we're ready. When that trim's down in the sanctuary, start sending me stage ideas and we will start building the stage. We'll let you get the green light on that and let's get her going. And once that stage is there and the chairs are in there, we will ask for forgiveness instead of permission. In some cases, if you want to have a special service out there, but don't tell nobody. So edit that out, Don. But that's all I know. People call me every now and then and say, Greg, you never tell us anything. What I just said is everything I know. That's where we're at with that. We appreciate all the gifts. I have not received the year-end tallies yet, but I think they're still waiting. When that comes out in the next week, I think for the finance committee, we'll know how we actually finish the year in. But appreciate all the giving and the gifts. We're now to the point of starting to look at the front of the building with projection screens and LED screens or whatever we decide to do up there, and that will be whatever we have the money to do. So please keep supporting if you can. I don't want to hammer that, but everything costs money. And besides that, a parking lot on top of that. So we're going to try to get creative with the parking lot. But that's some of the things that we'll be working on the next few weeks, and we'll keep you up to date. If you have any questions, anytime, you can always call me. Want you to remember, and is the Charlie, is that all right to announce that? Okay. Yeah, Charlie and Peggy, pray for them. Charlie's in the hospital dealing with some stuff that they really don't know what it is, but they're doing a lot of stuff just on his stomach. It has nothing to do with COVID or anything like that, but with COVID, Peggy can't go in and see him, and that's probably causing more stress to Charlie than the actual pain that he's experiencing in his stomach. But just pray for them, lift them up, that Peggy has comfort in being in there without Charlie, and just lift them up if you would. I appreciate that. And everybody else is on here, the prayer list, and the people that you need to remember and lift up. Am I forgetting anything? Is everything good? We're in the middle of reading through the Bible. Those meetings are in here. The Sunday School Zoom meetings are in here. Tonight on Breaking the Silence is Miss Texas will be on the program tonight, and we'll be talking about what her platform is and what she does for a living with wanting to build shelters for women that have been abused, and especially in the sexual trafficking area is what her belief is and what her passion is for life. And then next week, since I just want to make it clear, Breaking the Silence has nothing to do with the church, because next week we're going to have a specialist who's going to give us the Christian view of a topic that we have never discussed here, and that's pornography. And it's going to be a raw discussion next Sunday night, but it's a problem, and it's an issue that it has disrupted so many homes, and we're going to talk about that and then look at it through the eyes of Scripture and how God tells us we need to take care of this and clean our act up even behind closed doors. And that's going to be the next couple of weeks. So appreciate all that. If we can have the ushers come forward. Good to see Gilbert. Gwen. Just need the two. Here comes Jerry. Gilbert, would you mind blessing the offering and bless you as you give and all the ministries that they go to? And we just support God and give God the praise during all this for what we have and how good God's been to us. Okay, go over to the floor.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are, and we just give you all the honor and glory today for allowing us to get together here as your people, Lord, and we just thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us to worship and to honor your name. Father, I lift up all the people that are on the prayer list. I pray that you bring healing, strength, and comfort and peace to them, Lord. There's so many people that are going and suffering, health issues, emotional distress. Father, I pray that you would just be with them in a powerful way, Lord, and just heal them, whatever the situation may be. And Father, I thank you for allowing us together here and worship you and honor you. And I just thank you, Father, for allowing us to have good health and come and worship and look at each other and love one another and encourage one another. And Father, as we give today, I ask that you would give cheerfully, and I pray that you would bless this offering and gifts. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
call me someday. Thank you. It seems like sometimes we try to just work God in the day instead of gathering together and going, hey, wait, we're going to do an hour here because you know we go 11 or 10 to 11 and boom, we're done. But I'm going to give that hour fully to Him. And when I read the word, that I'm going to actually say, hey, God, before He even reads the scripture, let this mean something to me. Has anybody said that prayer already? Or do we just come and say, I hope that's the better kolaches today. I hope Johnny brings cookies again today, like they did last week. Or are you really saying, I hope I get to touch Jesus, get to hear from Jesus. And believe you me, I just want to be the transmitter to get you to open God's word and say, have you ever thought about it like this? And then apply it and use it. And then the neat thing about the word is then be obedient to it. You know, I had some wild dreams last night. Had a dream my car got stolen. Then I had a dream I was back in the old home place as a kid, and it was a real foggy night, and the police stopped me, and I was going 28 miles over the speed limit. So I thought today, I made sure I locked my car, and I drove the speed limit. So I was trying to be obedient to the law. But you know, I think when we get into God's word, what good is it just to read it and then not obey it? It's not good enough just to know the rules, know what we're supposed to do, but to actually apply it. So we're going to talk about, so get in your Bibles if you would. Let me get this up to where it covers up my belly. And get your Bibles in the book of Matthew. We did okay online? Okay, good. Praying for Curtis. They shut down his office again. And with COVID, so he's at home being quarantined, minor quarantine this time. But just pray for all those that have to deal with that mess and what he's dealing with and trying to recruit people for to protect our country and our rights and our freedom and having to deal with this in the middle of all that. If you haven't got your vaccine, I want to say it'd be a good idea if you did. The new strain is in Texas. It came from UK, so it is here. And if you get the vaccine from the first one, it has a 50% probability of knocking out this one too. But if you don't get either one, and if this one's as nasty as what they say the next strain's going to be, it would be nice to have something in your body that would fight off something. So get that if you can. I think that's the reason I was sick last week. I got the vaccine Saturday, the second dose, and it did make me sick. That was the only thing I could figure out what was going on with my body. But it was like, oh, man, I feel like Jack and Lucy, when you guys had it, it was like, oh, didn't want to do nothing. It just zapped me. But anyway, I still recommend that you get it. And Gwen and Joyce got theirs yesterday and or Friday, whenever it was, and at the NRG, and never had to get out of the car. So take up the opportunity of that and do that if you will. And it'll only work if majority of us start hurting that. If you don't, I don't blame you. I understand. I won't go there. I was debating on it too, but decided to go ahead and better be safe than sorry. But okay, get into your Bibles if you would. Matthew 7. I got 25 minutes. We're doing good. Are you refilling those donuts for Dad? Or okay, you had your limit, right, Mike? Okay, good. Gwen, what's it like to be locked out of the treasure room? That was just, everybody was watching. I hope somebody lets him in. Matthew 7. This is where we picked up. We started last week, and as we're going in through 2021, I really want to kind of do some things that breaks down a foundational truths that we need to succeed in not only, and I'm not talking about church life, I'm talking about personal life. I'm talking about your life, family's life, kids' life, teenagers. You can all do this, and I think this is all good. But the first thing that I wanted to talk to you, we need to build on values. And what we value is the foundation of our building, of the building, is our foundation of our life and our beliefs with God, and our values are everything. We can say we believe in God, but we don't go by it. It does nothing. But the first one was, we talked about having the value to be obedient to God's word. And that was found in Matthew 7, 24, 27. And I want to read this to you because it's kind of the foundation of this whole message. And we have 4 points, but I think a couple subpoints under each. So if you're taking notes, that's what it looks like. And I'm recapping real fast. Matthew 7:24. If you're there, say, oh, yeah. If they say, not yet. Okay. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Now, see, this is why I don't want to recap, because I every time I read scripture, it's like, now, I don't know about you, but I've been called a fool more than once. But the Bible's telling you, if you want to be wise, if you want to be smart, if you want to be somebody that knows something, what's it tell you to do? Listen and follow. I think it would be totally crazy to hear the rule, to hear the law, and then not follow it. And we do this all the time. And every time I talk about prayer, I always do this just to kind of get your goat a little bit. If I ask you the $64,000 question, how many of you believe that if you pray more, your life will be better? And almost, let me just ask you, how many of you believe if you pray more, your life will be better? Okay. Majority of the people. Well, how many of you going to do it? Ah, that's different, Pastor. I just know about it. I know that that's the last resort if I need it. That's the break glass in case of emergency to reach in for the axe in your life, or the fire extinguisher, or the heart monitor up there that brings people back to life. And I keep telling you, if I go down, don't use that on me, okay? If you're going to, I'm going to take the batteries out because I don't want to be brought back. Once I go, let me go. But we use prayer the same way. If it tells you to value prayer and do it, then we need to do it and use it in our life. And most of the time when things are absolutely hairy-carry in your life and totally out of control, and you're in a counseling situation with somebody, or they call and say, I just can't get any rest, I can't get any comfort, I can't get any peace, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm starting to feel, and I had a 2.5-hour webinar yesterday with the people, I believe it was in Boston. I don't even know where I was speaking to, on anxiety and stress. And you start just panicking out, and you start just freaking out, and you don't know what you're going to do. All you have to do is that first 5 minutes in the counseling session saying, how long have you been in God's word this week, and how often have you talked to God? Well, no, I haven't got to that yet. Well, then no wonder you're like this. No wonder your emergency and your warning light on your dashboard's going crazy. Why not go to the person that has the answers? And it says right here, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. All of that was free. I just want you to know that. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. When the rain comes, and it just comes in floods and torrents, and the floodwaters rise, and we all know what that's like, right, Nancy? And the winds beat against the house, it's not going to collapse because it's built on the rock. There's the foundation right there your values need to be on. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is a fool. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains and the floods come and the winds beat the house, it's going to collapse and crash with a mighty crash. Value obedience in God's word. And then I'm going to throw out the scriptures that we used last week, Joshua 1:8, 2 Timothy 3:16, James 1:25, and those are the three that really talks about God's word being the instruction manual. Blessings is the result of following, not just believing. This is a put your money where your mouth is type of thought. I believe, but I'm not going to apply it unless I need it. And that's the wrong approach to take when it comes to about how am I going to be successful in life? How am I going to have everything that I want? And I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about peace. Some of you would give up your entire savings account, your entire 401k right now, if you could have one day of peace. You just can't buy it, Kenny. So we're not talking about material things. We're talking about a relationship with God. And your value in obedience to God's word is a key. And if your security and your emotional bubble is on things, I pity the poor fool. Because it's been like that with me. It's been that way, but I just couldn't be content here unless I knew other things were going to be done. And then when that bubble started to not be done when I wanted it to be done, it started causing me. But now, I'm okay. My stress level is completely different when it comes to that. We need to take the pill, the gospel, and allow that to apply the peace that we need in our life. And you have to value the obedience in the word. Having the word in the family Bible on your coffee table isn't enough. You have to dig into it. And I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but look at your Bibles. Which is more worn and torn? Your checkbook or your Bible? Which is more, or do you still find when I throw out a scripture, you have to break open those pages because you haven't even got to that book yet in your word, and you've had it 4 years. For pity, go home and break it in, okay? At least do this to it or something to get those pages loose. get into that Bible and write in that Bible and use that Bible. And when you get a word from it, let it become your guiding light. Let it become your shining flashlight in the darkness. We need God's word, and being obedient to it is what it's all about. And I just beg you to do that in 2021. And if you want to do that online in a very non-threatening way with the church, you're welcome to do that. Pick up a little program on the way out that tells you how to do that. Read through the Bible, and that way you'll know every page has been used in marking it and writing it. I love writing in my Bible and circling and highlighting, because then when I'm actually there again, I go, oh man, that was that person that preached that sermon, and I'll put a date on it when I'm listening to a sermon or whatever, put outlines there, and it just helps me. But be obedient. That's a foundational truth that will help you succeed this week or this year. We talked about last week, this is all free yet, but the last two points were short, so hang with me. To value people over things. We live in a very materialistic environment and world. Everybody's concerned about what they have, what they don't have, and their careers, and their possessions. And in reality, I think on the other side of this COVID thing, I think when this thing's finally done, I'm not for sure we're not going to always wear masks for the rest of our lives in the world. I'm not for sure we're going to knock this completely out, but it does make me hit elevator buttons different. I don't know about you, but it does make me more concerned about different things that I normally just touch and don't even think about. So there's some good that's going to come out of this. But I think another good thing that comes out of this is that none of us are guaranteed one more day at the office. Are you kidding me? Baylor can go under tomorrow. Texas Children's can decide we're just laying off half the people. Any place that you're working at, up or downsizing, sorry. And there's not any warnings anymore. And for us to build our life on our career, I don't think that's good wisdom. I think you better build it on people that you trust and value people over things. Instead of putting so much time into what we do, put time on how it's going to impact people. And Mark 12:31 goes like this. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than this. Do you know your neighbor's name? I bet you do, because it's on O'Day Road. You're all the same. No, you're not O'Day Road. But that's one thing about living in on a street where everybody's family is. There's some good things and probably bad things about that. No, never, bad things?
Never.
Never. You're saying the right thing, Mike. Applause. But do we know? Let me just be really rude. You know the person's name sitting in front of you? You know the person's name? Yeah, nobody said in front of you. The person's name that's sitting on the other side, do we know all of that? I know that's hard to, how important, how much emphasis do we put on loving each other? And one thing I'm so proud of who we are is that we do that well here. I think we do that better than any place around. And I'm proud of that. And I want to let you know, I had nothing to do with that. That came along with 101 years of loving tradition. They came down through Park Place Baptist in a way they ingrained that in people to love each other and to pass that down. And that's so important. And then another verse was Colossians 3:14. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Do we have perfect harmony here? No. But we don't have fights. We are all in unity, but there are days. But overall, can you think about what the last 3 or 4 years has done to us what this goofy pastor has done to you, moved you out of a building that had a parking lot that would seat, that would park 500, and then a church sanctuary that would seat 1,500, and then enough classrooms that, even though it was asbestos filled, but it had classrooms that were just awesome all around the campus, and their own gymnasium and own weight room and ping pong tables. And here we are where they used to have air hockey and skeet ball. And nobody shot at me yet. Or they're real bad shots. We have unity. Because when we follow God together, we have that harmony that goes together. And when you value people over things, you will have that too. You will have that in your life. And then the third thing, this is where we left off last week. I'm doing good. Value generosity over greed. We just got into that. I just kind of threw that out at you last week. Value generosity over greed. Generosity cannot be something that we do once we have enough. There's a little cartoon that indicates and says, hey, it was easy to tithe when I was poor, but boy, it's hard to tithe when you got some money, isn't it? Because when you start adding an extra zero or two behind it, you go, wow, I can do a lot of stuff with that. But generosity over greed. Generosity is one of those values that God's word describes in a very unique way. In Proverbs 11:25, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Now, can you play the devil's advocate with that? Can you do the negative to that verse? The generous will prosper. So can I assume the stingy won't? I don't know if I can do that broad base and put it in and say God's word said it, but it sure indicates to me that if I want to prosper, if I want to be successful, generosity has to be part of my habit. And I don't know why, but I know exactly why. Sundays, I always have a craving for Chick-fil-A. Anybody else? And you'll be driving home from church or something. Hey, I'll swing through there and give them those chocolate shakes without the cherry, but the whipped cream. Leave the whipped cream on there. Those peppermint shakes. Woo! Doggies. I don't know if they still have them, but if you haven't got one of those, you need to get one of those. But they have been the, one of the most generous businesses around. You guys are generous businesses around, but they didn't. So look at this. I didn't take this from Kathy's book, the owner and the creator of Chick-fil-A. They didn't bend their values just because they were wanting money. What did God do? He said, if you don't sacrifice your values, I will let the parking and through the drive-through to be absolutely almost around the building any given time of the day at Chick-fil-A. And their stock is soaring and the success is happening and the franchises are all over the world, but they don't bend their values. And it has caused them to be prosperous. And they depend on people and love people and give back more than you will probably ever know. In the same way that I'm asking you, it's an absolute example of what we're talking about here. It works, folks. And if you don't bend just to fit into the system. Shopping malls, Chick-fil-A come in. Only one deal. You can have a lease spot here, but you have to be open on Sundays. All right, we'll bend the rule for you. You don't bend the rule for anybody else. And I love that. And I love how they always have Christian music playing on the sound system in their stores. It's what it's all about. It's right there. Talking about generosity over greed. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Remember this. The farmer who plants only a seed will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously is going to get a generous crop. You have to decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 8. 6 through 8. If you go, why don't I ever have enough to go around? Do the verse. Because it says, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with other people. I don't see any commas. I don't see any parentheses that says, well, if you do this, if you attend church 3 out of the 4 Sundays, if you do this, if you bring kolaches every other week, if you make... It doesn't say any of that. It just says, basically, if you want everything that you need and plenty, give everything to God. Give it to Him and other people, and God will take care of you. Don't sow selfishly, and He will bless you through that. A few points under this one. Generosity protects us from greed. It always protects us from greed. Generosity protects you from the love of money. Generosity protects you from materialism. And then generosity also allows you to experience God like you've never experienced Him before. Last point. I figured I'd get an amen out of that. Last point. Value the needs of other people over yourself. The problems that we're experiencing in our world right now is because the world has become me-centered. It's become self-centered. Now, I don't like to get the political things. I don't like to do that. But I think when you start understanding and recognizing, well, that person or that group or that belief are all about just them and everybody else, forget them. That's what's happening into our politics. That's what's happening to our government, into our world, when we're me-centered. And unfortunately, we are becoming more me-centered as each day goes by. Yet, God tells us to do the exact opposite. Philippians 2:3-5. I'll take a drink. I only got 5 minutes, according to the clock. Feel like that. Philippians 2:3-5. Hang with me. Don't go to sleep yet. It's too late to go to sleep, because you won't even get a good sleep now, because you're going to be up and out. You might as well stay awake. Philippians 2:3-5. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress other people. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in other people too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus. One of the ironies in life is that the more self-focused you are, the less fulfilled you'll become. You want to write that down? If you tweets, that's a good tweet. I remember Mom, when she was alive, she said, I know what I'm going to get you for Christmas, son. I said, what? She said, I'm going to get you a tweet. I said, what do you mean? Well, the machine that lets you tweet out whatever tweet is. And she was going to buy me a tweet machine. And his mom, that's the program on a phone. Don't worry about it. I'm fine because I don't tweet anyway. But she was so happy that she figured out what I needed for Christmas was a tweet. But if you believe in tweets, that's a good line. One of the ironies in life is the more self-focused you are, the less fulfilled you will become. And all the research out there confirms it. Our obsession with ourselves and our preoccupation with our needs is actually making us less healthy mentally and emotionally. So how do you build your life on that value in a minute and a half? Allow God to burden you for something outside of yourself. So right now, just the seconds that we have left, say to God, what do I want to do for you? Why do I want to be burdened? Put a burden on me about something, about someone that's outside of my home that I can love and care for, that I can take care of, that I can love and show them. Stop protecting your heart. Open it up. Let people in. And then the last thing, how do you build that value? Do something to meet a specific need. We must do more than feel something. You have to put an action to the feeling to make a difference in people's lives. Now that's the full value sermon. And I needed that because I think every now and then we need to realign where we are, where we're going, where we've been, and then look around and see if there's people that need something that you have, that may have been something that you have in another room that you haven't ever even taken out of the box, but you want to keep it. So I guess they can fight over it after you die. I don't know. But you might as well help somebody else out with it and love and care. But what? Where's your values at today? How do you want this year to be different in your life? How do you want the success to come through? How do you want your walk to be closer with Jesus Christ than it's ever been before? There's the answer. I promise you, that's it. What's it saying to you? Dear Lord, we want to come to you right now, and I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for where you brought us. I thank God, Lord, I'm not who I used to be. But I also want to thank you that I'm not even close to who I'm going to be. Show me how to be a better disciple. Show me how to be a better child for you. Show me how to love people better, to follow your word better, to allow it to make a difference in my life better. Lord, if there's any decisions in anybody's hearts today, let the day be the day that decision's made. Holy Spirit, convict people to do what they need to be burdened about. Maybe read your word more, to love more, to give more, to care more. But Lord, burden us about all that. Well, thank you for a place where we can come together and give you praise and glory. And thank you for the word that never, never is more than an arm's length from us. And may we dig into that word more than we ever have before. We give you the praise and the glory in all that we do. In Jesus' blessed name we pray it. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for joining us today live on Faith Springs Baptist. Join us right here next week for another edition at 10 o'clock Central Time next week for another service here at Faith Springs Baptist. God bless. Y'all have an awesome week. God bless you.